Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the internet or re-listen to this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to look at becoming and living as citizens of heaven. You know, out of the thousands of sermons I have preached, I think I've only preached a few on heaven. And there's a reason for this. It seems like I've never been able to preach a sermon on heaven that connected. You know, preaching is something like hitting a baseball. Sometimes I preach and I hit a single or a double. But every time I've preached on heaven, I've either struck out or hit an anemic bunt. But the passage I want to look at today is throwing me one of those heaven pitches again. So I'm going to take another swing at it. I've noticed that the younger a person is, the less they seem to care about heaven. When I'm speaking to a 20-something, heaven is almost seen as irrelevant information. When I'm speaking to a senior who is on death's door, it's the most relevant topic there is. That, of course, is understandable. I am not really interested in reading a travel guide about Peru until I'm getting ready to travel to Peru. But when a trip to Peru is imminent, I'm very interested in reading the travel guide. So it makes sense that the closer one gets to the door of heaven, the more interested one is in what is there. And of course, I should remind you that we don't know how close the door of heaven is. We hear stories on the news all the time about how someone's life was cut short. But the reality is, you know that you could die at any time, and that's theoretically true, but most of us don't really believe that about ourselves. Most of us believe that we have a while longer to live yet. So taking an interest in heaven is kind of like taking an interest in Rome. I would really like to travel there. And yes, it's theoretically possible that somebody could buy me a plane ticket to Rome this coming year, but it's really unlikely. So I'm not going to rush out and buy a traveler's guide to Rome, right? So when our passage of Scripture throws me this pitch about heaven, well, a lot of you still think, well, I'm swinging in the irrelevant zone. And besides that, well, there's this country song that says, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. And that's true enough. But often I think that the only reason that many people want to go to heaven is that it is better than the alternative. The secular image about heaven is that we're going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. And I have little interest in that. And of course, that is not a true image. But the way Christian people talk about heaven is that it's going to be one long worship service. We're going to be around the throne worshiping God. Now, don't get me wrong. Unlike many people, I like church. But I don't want to live in an endless church service. Do you? You know, C.S. Lewis says that you can only hope for what you desire. If our concept of heaven is something that I don't really desire, we're not really going to hope for. See, one long worship service is not in anyone's core desires. You know, things like joy and love and laughter and beauty and intimacy and adventure and discovery and accomplishment, these are the things that is in our core desires. And the reality is that those are the things that heaven is all about. Let me ask you a question. What do you conceive the next life to be like? Is it kind of some wisp of this reality where we are disembodied spirits kind of floating around? What kind of reality do you think we will exist in? Jesus, after the resurrection, had a body like we are going to have in heaven. He ate and he spoke. He even cooked out on the beach. It was the most ordinary thing. And that it was the most extraordinary thing. He passed through walls. He ascended into air. Let me challenge you with this question. When you get to heaven, What are the first three things you want to do when you get to heaven? I want to run and give Jesus a big hug and just celebrate grace and mercy and the fact that he will renew all things. Then I want to go to the feast. There's going to be the best food you have ever eaten there. And there will be dancing and storytelling. It's going to be an incredible party. And then I think I want to take some great friends and go horseback riding out into the mountains and explore the countryside of heaven. Yes, there are horses in heaven. What an awesome way to start an adventure in heaven. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know what it's all going to be like, but I know that our deepest desires for joy and love and laughter and beauty and intimacy and adventure will be satisfied. Heaven will be a place where all the symbols of fear will be gone. We won't need locks on the doors or masks to hide our true identities. There won't be any talk of being authentic because that will be the only way to be. Hiding, shame, and the things that hold us back from being all that we're meant to be will be no more. Now, I know a lot of people, when they think about heaven, hope they'll make it. I know some who are pretty sure that they won't make it. But here's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's Jesus. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Having eternal life and getting into heaven are not about what you have and haven't done. It's not about how good you've been or how bad you've been. It is about putting your faith and trust in Jesus and following him. If you will enter into a relationship with him and trust him and follow him, he gives you the power and the right to go to heaven. 1 John 5:13 says, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. It's possible to know that you are going to heaven. It's all about what you do with Jesus. If you are not sure if you're going to heaven, then why don't you talk to Jesus right now about it? Give Jesus your life. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him for forgiveness of all the wrongs you have done, and ask him to give you his life and his goodness. Jesus is always faithful to his word. His word says, to as many as believe in him, to them gave he the power to become children of God. The Bible says, you can know that you have eternal life. If you never made that decision, I would invite you to do that, even while we listen to the music. We're going to listen to Shepherds of Heaven by Paul Turner and Brian Dorks.
Here I am again, crying out. Live today, voices all around calling out, speak my name. I will follow, let me not heed the voice of another. Teach my heart to hear the voice of my Father. Come to my rescue. Lead as I follow, Shepherd of Heaven. When the weight of my world is all I fear, speak my name. Let your freedom reign again in the shadowlands where light is gone. Speak my name.
I've talked about heaven as a place that when it's our time, we're going to go to. And it's like when it's our time, we're going to emigrate there. And when we feel it's getting closer, then we tend to want to know more about it. And while that view is not completely wrong, it's not completely accurate either. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." For those of you who have become followers of Jesus, for those of you who have given your life to Jesus and put your faith in Jesus, heaven is not only where we are going, heaven is, in fact, our home and native land. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Peter says that it is really this world where you are a stranger. Although you might be a Canadian, you're really a foreigner here. See, your citizenship is in heaven. So the image that we are going to emigrate to heaven isn't quite right. The reality is that we're expats here. I don't know if you have ever had the experience of traveling to a foreign country. You can be quite comfortable in that country, but often Canada comes up because, well, of course, that's where you're from, and conversations tend to circle around that. And if you hear of another Canadian close by, well, you try to connect. If you hear of another Canadian close by, you really hope internally that they're living in such a way that they're doing the country proud. With that as a background, I think we're ready to tackle today's verse. I want to take you to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I'm going to read it in two different versions. First of all, from the New International Version. It says this: "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you are standing firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for faith, for the faith of the gospel." The New Living Translation puts it this way: "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news." The New International Version is a minimalist translation. It translates the verse, "Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel." The word "conduct" is a very specific Greek word that has the idea of conduct yourself as a citizen. The New Living Translation is an expansive translation. It expresses this verse: "You must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news." Remember that we believe that Scripture is inspired by God. It is not inspired in a word-for-word dictation form. If that were the case, then we'd all have to learn Greek and Hebrew in order to read the inspired Word of God. It is the truth behind the words that are inspired. That is why it's helpful to read in a couple of different translations so that you get the nuances of the truth that the passage is trying to express. I believe that in this verse, the New Living Translation helps us out the best. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Maybe it was just me, but when I was growing up, I always found this verse, which I first read in the King James and then in the New International Version, "conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel," as a rather heavy verse. I heard this verse saying, "be good, be truthful, be holy, be right." And it always had this very somber overtones for me. Jesus gave his life for you. Live in a way that is worthy of that sacrifice. I heard this verse saying, "live up to expectations." And you know, people who live this way, they were very serious people. People who live like this took everything seriously. And in some ways, it was a very guilt-inducing verse. How can I ever live in a manner worthy of the gospel? Is that how you've read it? I don't know that I should have read it that way. It seemed like the gospel, which means the good news, it seemed like the good news wasn't very happy news. So what does it mean to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, the good news? Well, the gospel, as you know, is that none of us can be good enough or righteous enough or holy enough to earn God's favor. The good news is that it's not my own righteousness that saves me. It is the fact that Jesus gives me his righteousness and takes my sin away. I'm not saved because I deserve it. We are saved because God loves us and Jesus gave himself for us. That is the gospel. The way I was reading this verse was, live in such a way to show that you deserve the gospel that says you don't deserve what you got. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to try to deserve something you don't deserve. That is why I spent a lot of time talking about heaven today. As citizens of heaven, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Our citizenship is in heaven. We come from a country, we are citizens of a country that speak into our core desires for joy and love and laughter and beauty and intimacy and adventure. Heaven is a place where there is celebration. It is a place where we walk in freedom with God, where he knows us and we know him. It's a place where we give and receive love freely. It is a place where intimacy is valued. It is a place where beauty is esteemed. It is a place for adventure and a place for creativity and a place for curiosity. It is a place where God permeates all of those things. That, my friend, is your home and native land. So when Paul says, as citizens of heaven, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news, he says, conduct yourself in a manner that's congruent with, in line with, the culture of heaven. Are we more congruent with heaven when we have a sense of well-being and joy, or when we're dour? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Are we more congruent with heaven when we love and let ourselves be loved, or when we build walls around ourselves so that we keep each other out and don't let anyone in? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Are we more congruent with heaven when we revel in what is beautiful and good and true and right and lovely, or when we are fault-finding and negative? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Are we more congruent when we live lives of adventure or when we live lives of mediocrity? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Are we more congruent with heaven when we're being creative or when we're being distracted? As citizens of heaven, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Of course, it's also congruent with heaven to walk in purity and in justice and in mercy. Walking in a manner worthy of the gospel is not trying to deserve something we don't deserve. It's about living out of our culture in a land where we are foreigners and aliens. Don't know if you've noticed, though, but we're not in heaven yet. There are so many things that come to steal our joy. There are so many things that try to stop us from being loving. There are so many things that war against intimacy. There are so many things that mar beauty and promote ugliness. There are so many things that war against adventure and against creativity. The call of the gospel is that we come from a different place, and the place where we come from has a culture that trumps the culture that we live in now. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come to see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. You know, sometimes living out the culture of heaven means that we have to stand together with those who are also living out that culture. Sometimes it means fighting together to maintain our sense of joy and good and life. Sometimes it's trying to live out of a culture of heaven and conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel is hard. You know, I've had the privilege of visiting believers in Peru and in Uganda and in Ghana. And there's a couple of things that have struck me about Christians I met there. First of all, I was struck by how difficult their lives are. A lot of them worked very hard and very long hours. They dealt with very difficult circumstances. Death was a very present reality. The other thing that struck me was how joyful they are. Because life was so difficult here, heaven was much more real to them. Because heaven was much more real to them, they adopted the culture of heaven much more readily, and it showed. What I'm calling you to do is to live out of your culture. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. The Bible says as a follower of Jesus that you are a citizen of heaven. Live out of your culture. Choose joy. Fight the joy stealers. Choose love. Fight the love killers. Choose beauty and adventure and relational closeness, because this is what your heart is built for by God. This is who you are by the grace of God. And as you live in this world, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news. Live in such a way that the good news really looks like good news. Verse 27, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the good news. Thank you that you loved us so much, and thank you for the hope of heaven. Lord, help us to live out of that culture, to live as citizens of heaven. Lord, I pray that you would help us to choose joy and love and adventure and creativity and beauty. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement. And I thank you for keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, please make your checks out to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. If you go to that website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, you can also follow us on Twitter or on our blog. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a pleasure to spend this Sunday morning with you. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to see this morning program out by listening to Jesse Dixon, I Choose Joy.
The only one who can do that is me. You see, it is my decision. Does it go and does it stay? I have the final say how it will be. You heard it said so often, it's all in your mind. But I believe to some degree it's true. The word says where your treasure is, your heart's not far behind. We're free today because Jesus gave the choice to me and you. So I choose joy. I choose joy. You know I've made up my mind and I choose joy. I choose joy. I choose joy. Times before, sometimes I wondered if I ever learned that misery loves company these days outside my door, whispering in my ear at every turn. Now every day is different, mercy makes them new, and there's bound to be a few bumps along the way. Turn away.
I choose joy.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.